The title of this discourse would be Success, Excuses, and Reasons. And I don't want to keep you too long, but I believe this is what the Lord gave me when I sought something from the Lord. This is what he gave me. And so I desire your prayers that I'm able to get it over in a way that be pleasing unto God, be a blessing unto us. I want to say that I'm not finger pointing. I don't know anything about you in terms of what you're going through, but I do know you're going through something. And I don't have the right or the ability to judge or finger point, so I'm not doing that. I need growth and need help my own self. I'm trying to make it in as well. And so I'm encouraged in the Lord to know that as you're hearing the word of God, I'm hearing it too. And I want you to get what God has for it. For me out of this as well. What we really want is success. Yeah. All right. What we want is success. We want success in terms of spiritual. We want that more than anything. Right. We want to be pleasing and honoring unto God. And there are things that will hinder us from having that success. All right. And so we're going to talk about those things this afternoon. And we're going to ask the Lord to bless his word this afternoon. Success is defined as the accomplishment, achievement of an aim or goal. All right. Another definition would be the achievement of results wanted or hoped for. All right. So this applies to the things of this life. Right. We have goals in this life. And this also applies most importantly to the things that are of a spiritual nature. All right. And so it's important. I want to pause here and say this. It's important to be spiritually ambitious. I'll say that again. It's important to be spiritually ambitious. And what I mean by that is, I'm not trying to outdo anybody else. It's not about that. It's not about my name being recognized and there goes brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. That's not what I'm talking about. That's an earthly endeavor. All right? We want God to, his favor, his stamp of approval to be on our lives. And so in order to do that, do you know that you have to have goals? You got to have goals. You have to have spiritual goals. You want to be pleasing and honoring unto God. You want to draw closer to him. You want to be used of him. You want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But you can't do that if you don't have any spiritual goals. You're just going along, right? If your goal is to just be saved, well, if you're saved already, then you've met that goal, have you not? Right? And so you have to have some type of ambition in terms of what do you want in terms of your salvation, in terms of my salvation. May the Lord help us this morning, this afternoon, all right? And so we don't want anything to hinder us. And one of the things that will hinder us at what we're talking about this afternoon is excuses. All right. Read with me. Go to Luke 14 and verse number 16. I'm going to read down a tiny bit, but just stay with me. It says here, Luke 14, 16. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they, with one consent, began to make excuse. Began to make excuse. All right? And so I want to pause there. Do you notice that in that scripture, when they're talking about excuse, they said excuse and not excuses? What do you think about that? One excuse can hinder you. That's one way. That's important to know. But one excuse and the other excuse, neither excuse is better, is it? They're all the same to God, right? An excuse is what? It's a reason why I'm not doing what I should be doing. It's a reason why I haven't stopped doing what I shouldn't be doing. It's a reason why I won't do what God is asking me to do. It's an attempt to justify. It's an attempt to make right or make good something that is wrong in my life. That's what an excuse is. A reason, on the other hand, is just an explanation. You're explaining something. You're not trying to attempt to make it right. Lord, you've asked me to do this, and I want to do it, Lord. I'm telling you, Lord, I'm letting you know that I'm inadequate, but I'm still going to do it. That's different. That's an explanation. Lord, I'm weak, but thou art strong. Lord, I'm this, I'm that, but Lord, I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. Right? And I'm not going to make an excuse for it. Once I begin to justify my position, once I begin to say, Lord, you've asked me to do this thing, and Lord, for these reasons, Lord, this is why I'm not doing it, and Lord, I'm wanting you to be okay with that. Now, that is an excuse. All right? And it seems like you and I, as humans, we are the best at excuses. We can come up with some on a moment's notice. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about the human condition. We're very good at making excuses as to why we're not doing, why we didn't do, or why we haven't done what need to be done. And God is saying here, don't do that. In this reading, he's saying don't do that. And so it says in verse number 18, they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground and I must need go and see it. I pray have thee me excused. All right. So he bought a piece of ground. We're going to get back to this. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. Listen, all the excuses were different, weren't they? Different excuses, but the same goal was in mind. You notice that when it says, this is what I've done. And so therefore, I'm asking you, Lord, to excuse me. Do you see where he excused them? If you read down through there, do you think that the Lord excused them of that? All right. Did he say, well, it's okay. Well, you brought a yoke of oxen. I can understand that. Go ahead and handle that first and then get back to me when you get a chance. You married a wife or whatever it was. You bought a piece of land. Go and do that first, right? And so I want us to understand something this afternoon. When we are wrong, sometimes we want to defend our position. We are tempted, when we are tempted to do wrong, we are tempted to defend our position. God doesn't want us to do that. An excuse is an attempt to lessen the blame attaching to a fault or offense. It's also defined as seek to justify or defend our position. It's also a reason or explanation put forward to defend or justify a fault or offense. I'm going to tell you two things here. One way to guarantee failure is to start off with an excuse. You think so? You want to know if somebody's going to be failure, whether partially or completely, if they're giving excuses in the first place, they can't do it. Right? The excuse is in the way. And the other thing is, an excuse and a success cannot coexist. All right? It's saying the same thing, but it's saying it in two different ways. I'm going to give you an example. I used to coach basketball all the time. I kind of coach a little bit now, but it's informal. But one of the things I used to say when I first started coaching, I used to say, if you can't run, you can't play. You can't run, you can't play, right? And so the kids would come in, and they go, their foot is hurt today. Now, it wouldn't hurt the rest of the school day at all. Wouldn't hurt, but practice time is time. Because the first 2 or 3 weeks, if we don't get in shape, then it doesn't matter if you can shoot the ball if you're not in the play. You're not there on offense to get the ball, to shoot the ball. It don't matter if you're the best defender on earth if you're not back on D because you're out of shape and your side hurt. Right? So the first thing we do is if you can't run, you can't play. So we run the first three, four weeks. Now I'm going to trick them. I'm going to throw a ball out there and we're going to do layup drills and defensive drills and all these kind of things. I don't care about their ability at that point. What I care about is that they're running to the best of their ability. And so I have to find a way to overcome the excuses, because the same people that are not able to run when it comes to the reeks of running, these are the same people that miraculously, they don't have any problem when it comes time to play. When it comes game day, they don't have any problem when it comes time to play. All right? And so what I had to do is I had to teach them and find a way around the excuse in order to get them to do what they already could do, but maybe they didn't know they could do it. Sometimes we can do things by the help of the Lord, but we don't know we can do them. You remember Moses? He said he couldn't do it, didn't he? Lord took away his excuses, gave him Aaron to help him out, right? But let me ask you this. Do you think Moses still could have did it without Aaron? Why? If God be with us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us, right? And so when God is looking at us, he's not just looking at your and my capabilities without him. He's adding himself into the equation. With God, all things are possible. But what he has to do many times is he has to get us to a place where we're willing to put the excuses down, leave the excuses behind us, and begin to move towards God and what he wants for our lives. All right? Because we cannot be successful. We cannot fully be successful once we are hindered or hampered by excuses. All right. So may the Lord help us. All right. May the Lord help us. So our goal is to partake of God's feast. Right. So it says here in verse number 16, St. Luke, 14th chapter, 16th verse. It says that he made a great supper and he bade many to come. Bible says that he's calling all of us to follow him. He's calling all of us to the feast, right? And so our goal, now when we talked about goals earlier, our goal should be to come to the feast and partake of God's blessings. Live our life like he would want us to live it, all right? And anything that would hinder us from being in the favor of God, to being pleasing and honoring unto God, then we reject that, and we want to do all that we can to partake in God's great feast. And it says here, he sent someone out, didn't he? So God sends, not only did he prepare the feast, but he sends the message. He sends a message through the ministers. He sends it through his word. He sends it through his Holy Spirit. He sends it through other people. And it's all the same message. Come to the feast. Come and partake of this supper that I have for you to partake of. Are you willing to come? Will you come and be with me? That's what the message is. All right. And it says in verse number 18, they all made one excuse, began to make all with one consent began to make excuse. All right. Let's look at the first excuse. Let's look at the first one. All right. He bought a piece of ground, right? How does that work? I'm just asking, how does that work? If you buy a piece of ground or you have what's called a business venture, why should that exclude you from coming to the feast? Is the ground going anywhere? He already bought the ground, didn't he? It's his. Couldn't he have put that on the back burner and sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things would be added unto him? He could have done that, right? But how many people do you know, because of what other people might think or because of their goals and their desires, they put God on the back burner? I've got this business venture. I've got these achievements that I want to achieve in terms of monetarily or with wealth or other things. And so therefore, God becomes the second option. He becomes the backup to the backup. You understand? And so what God is wanting us to do, from the young to the old, is get to a place where whatever would hinder us from putting God in his right place, then remove that excuse. Wouldn't it be better if he had sought God and his righteousness first, and then if God say, go buy the ground, he's the one telling you to go buy the ground. You go buy the ground, and guess what God's going to do? Tell me what he's going to do. He's going to prosper that. What does it say? Blessed is a man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinner. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. And then down further it says, he said, everything he shall do shall prosper. His delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree. So when we're doing all of those things and we put God first in our lives and we don't let these excuses hinder us, what he does allow us to do, what ends up happening is not only does he bless us, but he's the one that's orchestrating the whole thing. And so then it's a whole nother level of blessing when it comes to what it is that he wants us to do. God's going to bless what he's instructing us to do. God's going to bless our efforts if we put him first and we don't allow what would hinder us to hinder us. May the Lord help us. All right, let's go to the next verse. It says here, another said, I have 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another business venture. Here's the problem. You got the oxen, but the God that made them, you put on the back burner. And so therefore, if one of them gets sick, he might hand it to another one. He might hand it to another one. Pretty soon, your 5 yoke of oxen ain't nothing. You understand? And so, but if you did put God in his rightful place, if one of them gets sick, he'll let you know and tell you how to treat that thing. And you'll save not only them, but you will grow and you will prosper. It's the same principle. But people put things ahead of God. We put things ahead of God. We put what other people think ahead of God. And we excuse ourselves because we have to make money, don't we? Do we? That's a kind of a trick question, isn't it? Got to think about that, huh? I want to encourage us to know this. We grow up in this world and it teaches us certain things. We grow up believing that we have to make money, make a bunch of money, have a bunch of money for retirement, and all of these things. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I want you to get a hold of that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that what that can do is that can become a problem. They that will be rich shall do what? Somebody snare. Let's find it. 2 Timothy 6 and 9. What does it say? I want you to get a hold of this if you already didn't know. 2 Timothy 6 and 9. You beat me there. Go ahead and read it. 1 Timothy 6 and 9. I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 6 and 9. Thank you. All right. All right. In perdition. All right, so it says here, they that will be rich, okay, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. What happens is our goals and our aims got mixed up. And somewhere along the way, we began to put a lot of effort into reaching that goal and a whole lot. We only have so much effort to go around. And so we put a lot of effort into that. And so what ends up happening is the effort into pleasing and being honoring unto God, like the brother was talking about this morning, that's going to suffer. All right. And so what happens is God calls after your heart, even young people, especially young people. And he begins calling after your heart because we began to develop this ambition. I'm not going to be poor like my mama and my daddy. I'm not going to be laughed at like my sister and my brother. I'm going to have what I want to have. My kids are going to have what they want to have. And I'm going to do what's necessary. I'm going to get all A's. I'm going to go to the best college. I'm going to do all these things. And what can happen is God can have all of that for you, but it can't be ahead of him. It can't be ahead of him. And so what ends up happening is we'll start pursuing that thing. And before we know it, we're way off somewhere. And God can't reach us because we have put the value in that thing instead of in God. And now we're in a place where we can't even enjoy what we've been given and what we have earned, we think, because we have put God in the wrong place. And so things, God in his love, love and mercy allows things to start going wrong. He wants it to go wrong because he wants to get your heart. I can't take my cows with me. I can't take that plot of land with me, even if it's the best plot of land there ever was. I don't care if I had 1,000,000 cows and they were the best cows you've ever seen worth oodles and oodles of money. I can't take it with me. And so God in his love and mercy, he calls after our hearts and he allows things to happen, but we have to respond. It's easier to remove the excuses at the beginning. When God first deal with your heart, when you are a young man, a young woman, let him deal with you. And say, Lord, I'm not going to have this excuse, but I'm going to let you deal with me and I'm going to let you work and mold and make me into what you have me to be. And what you, Brother Tavis, said it not too long ago, and I love it. What you want for my life, I want, Lord. What you don't want for my life, I don't want, Lord. You know what's best. And that's the way it's got to go. May the Lord help us. But how many people have gotten into these snares and these foolish and hurtful lusts, and they're drowning in destruction and perdition? Lord, have mercy. Don't let these excuses, these seemingly good things, these reasons why we're not pleasing the Lord, why we're not giving our heart to the Lord like he wants us to, don't let those things hinder us along the way. May God help and bless and be with us. I'm going to talk about this third scripture, Luke 14, starting at verse number 16, and then we're coming on down to the, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I want you to get a hold of one other thing. And it says here in verse number 20, it said, another says, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. I'm going to spend a little time on this. Wife, husband, mother, father, sister, brother, right? We're going to go to the scripture. I have it written down. But the Bible says, if anybody, you put anybody before God, then you're not worthy of God, right? And so what ends up happening is sometimes our ambition ain't the money and the wealth and the fame. Sometimes our ambition is this woman or this man. It's important to us, right? And so what ends up happening is Lord is talking to us and dealing with us, wanting to get a hold of our hearts, because again, God sees from above. He sees the end from the beginning and everything in between. And so he sees that this woman or this man is not going to be good for you. All right? Don't get quiet on me. This is the truth. And so what ends up happening is we began to, but Lord, they're nice. And they're pretty, and they have this, and they have that going for them, and they come from this lineage, and all these things. And he's saying, this ain't it. Don't do this. Don't do this. And you end up doing it anyway. And for one reason or another, slowly but surely, you can't come to service no more. But you're still sending tithes in, and you're looking online, right? May the Lord help us. He's in my heart. Ain't that what people say? Lord's in my heart all the time. So therefore, I don't really have to do what I would need to do because but what I would normally do, and these are my reasons. My wife, she don't believe the way y'all believe. And so therefore, I'm going to go with her. My husband, he don't believe the way y'all believe. So therefore, I'm trying to keep my marriage and all of this. Listen, you get the wrong one, you in trouble. I ain't saying you gotta be lost. You don't have to be lost. I don't care what you did, but I'm telling you this, it's a whole lot easier to let God choose that one for you. And if God choose him for you, if God choose her for you, then you got him to rely upon when you're going through what you're going through. And you got his stamp of approval upon your choice. And then he can come in and bless and he can help and he can work because he's going to be, he was part of the equation at the beginning and he's still to be with you. But what can happen is you be done chose the wrong one, Lord help us. And what will happen is that person can do like what happened with Samson. Samson messed around. He wasn't supposed to mess with those women. And he got some woman caught his eye, no doubt, a beautiful woman or whatever, and that caught his eye. But he knew he wasn't supposed to mess with that woman. He knew that. And so he got himself in a situation, and there was great cost because of it. I'm saying to you this afternoon, you don't want that. You don't want that. Put God first in your life. Don't let these excuses, don't let what the enemy, because what it is what we make excuses, but what we do is we mislabel them as reasons. Again, a reason is an explanation. It's not attempting to justify. It's not attempting to do anything other than explain what has happened. But when we began to justify our position, when we began to try to have a reason for why we didn't or why we did, if you have to have a reason for why you didn't or why you did or why you haven't, isn't that a problem in and of itself? May the Lord help us. And so what ends up happening is when we start mislabeling these reasons as they're really excuses, but we're mislabeling them as reasons, then we began to get hindered in the way. And over time, it's usually things on, sometimes people are more impulsive than others and things happen more quickly. But usually if someone has been saved and had a desire to please the Lord, over time is where the problem is. We began to go away from the Lord gradually. We began to justify where I'm at and why I'm not doing what God wants me to do. May the Lord have mercy upon us, and may he bless us, and may he help us in a very special way. The scripture that I was referring to is found in Matthew. It's chapter 10, 37 through verse number 39. And so it doesn't say here wise, but it's talking about anyone or anything that will come and keep us from doing the will of the Lord. It says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. How do we prove that we love the Lord? By obeying him, by giving him our heart. And so we can't say that we love him and be disobedient too. We can't say that we love him, but he would not give him our heart. And so it says here, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now pay special attention to this. He that findeth his life shall what? Lose it. All right. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall what? Find it. And so therefore, we have to let the Lord help us to know what to do and then do it. And then trust God to bring us to a place of a blessed place of within him. May the Lord help us this afternoon. I'm almost finished. All right. Sometimes when we pursue that woman, that man, what ends up happening, well, you're going to lose either way. But a lot of times you lose in life, too, because you pursue that man, you pursue that woman. It wasn't who God had for you. They wanted to go another way. You're trying to stick with the saints. And in order for you to keep that relationship, you do all that you can to keep that relationship. And in the end, she do you like Delilah did. You tell her secret. She cut your hair off. Now your strength is gone. Right? So now you done lost twice. You done lost twice. You thought you was winning because you got what you wanted, but then what you wanted ain't what you wanted, and you end up in a bad position, and now you got to suffer because of it. I want to encourage you, don't do that. Don't let the enemy trick you like that. If you got to make an excuse for it, then something ain't right. If you got to make an excuse for it, something ain't right. What you should do is look to the Lord to help you to humble yourself. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to humble myself. This is what you're requiring of me, Lord, then I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how you're going to work that in me or what you're going to do. But what I'm saying is, I'm not going to justify my position. I'm not going to excuse myself. I'm not going to allow the enemy to trick me and trap me and have me in a bad position before you. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm going to do right. And sometimes you have to do that over and over and over again until you believe it. Until you believe it, until you do it in sincerity and in truth. Do you know that some things don't come easy? You know we got to strive to enter in at the straight gate. And so sometimes you might seek the Lord for something and feel like you made some progress. Then later on down the road, you find yourself, you done backslid into that position once again. What should you do? Should you quit? No. Ask the Lord again. Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I know this is going to be required of me. I know this is what you want of me. And so I'm asking you, Lord, help me, Lord Jesus, to do this. Help me to get away from these excuses. Again, I want you to understand that the Bible says that we're going to be inexcusable. All right? That's in Romans 2 and 1. We're not going to go there right now, but I want you to remember two things. You don't remember nothing else. One is, the way that you can guarantee partial or complete failure is the presence of an excuse. All right? The way that you can guarantee partial or complete failure is the presence of an excuse. All right? The other thing is, excuses and success, it's another way of saying the same thing, cannot coexist. If a child come to me, he say he want to learn basketball, and every time I tell him, do this, he tell me, my body don't work like that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, then I know that until we overcome those excuses, we can't have success. But once we get to a place where I tell them what need to be done, and they begin, because we come to the Lord for a reason. We come to the Lord because we can't do it ourselves. We realize that. We don't have the ability to do it ourselves. And so there we've come to the Lord and we say, Lord, you tell me what to do. You help me to do right. You help me, show me the way. But then when the Lord says it, sometimes we say, Lord, well, hold on. I think you might have got that one wrong, Lord. Sometimes we do that. Just like somebody coming seeking knowledge and understanding from somebody else, they come to that person for a reason, and then when they give them that knowledge, that counsel, that good advice, if they say, oh, well, I can't do that because of this and because of that, I promise you they will not be successful. And so in the same way, we need the Lord to help us. I need you to pray for me because everything ain't always easy. I found that when I'm having a struggle with something that the Lord want me to do, the sooner I acknowledge that and began to do something about that, my success outcome goes up exponentially. But if I allow that thing to ruminate in my mind, if I allow that thing to gain momentum and strength, and this is the reason why, and not only that, but this is the reason why, and that's the other reason why, and if they hadn't have done this and they hadn't have done that, then I wouldn't have been in this position in the first place, and all they got to do is act right, and I'll act right. You know, that's what ends up happening. Right? And so what helps is to be honest. You know what? God says he's a spirit. They that's going to worship him, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. We know the spirit part, but a lot of times we miss the truth part. It's good to come to God and say, God, truthfully, I don't want to do this. I don't like this. This is hard. But ultimately, I want to be pleasing and honoring unto you. And so, Lord, I need you to help me because I got all the excuses you need. But that's, do you know that those people, he talked about later on in that scripture in Luke, he said there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yeah. They did not get excused. He did not give. They asked to be excused. And some people are doing that. They're going away from God and they're giving him the reasons over their shoulder. This is why. And that's why. And Lord, what about this? And what about that? And they're going away from God and they're saying really in their hearts and minds, Lord, excuse me. But he's not saying that that you're excused. It'd be different if you say, excuse me. And then he says, you know what? You're excused. But the problem is, when he's asking us to do something, it's for a reason. He knows that it's good for us. He knows that it's good for others. He knows that it's going to help us ultimately make heaven. He knows that. And so therefore, he's telling us to do that first and foremost for our own good. And so if he was to say, well, you're excused of that, then he would be harming us. Do you understand? And so we have to ask God to help us. We have to ask God to help us to accept his will in our lives. We have to be honest before the Lord. If we are not there yet, acknowledge that before the Lord. Acknowledge that he's right. Acknowledge that we've got some excuses that we need him to help us get rid of. And then do the will of the Lord by the grace and help of God. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. I'm sorry that I have to preach all the time, but I can make an excuse. I can make an excuse. I almost tried to do this from the floor. But the Lord said no. He said, I told you no already. He really did. He said, get up in that pulpit. I know it's nine people here or however many people. I know that, but I told you to do what I told you to do, and I don't want you making an excuse. I want you to do it. I said, Lord, help me. I'll do it. So you pray for me. Pray for me. Because I want to make heaven my home. And every time that I get up here, I want to be living the life, first and foremost. And then secondarily, I want to do the will of my Father. All right? And when he says at the end, well done, I want to expect him to say that. I believe that you can live in a way that you can expect the Lord to say, well done. I don't believe some of them old ones that we talked about were confused about where they was going in the end. They knew where they were going because they had done the will of their Father. God said do it, and they did. And we can do that as well. Y'all pray for me, want to make heaven my home. Want you to make heaven your home as well. You pray for me, I will be praying for you. Thank you.